Cool, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to start by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today. I'd also like to acknowledge the elders and community leaders of the many communities that are represented here today and throughout the rest of the week. I want to thank them for the inspiration, work, and encouragement you provide emerging leaders. I'd of course like to acknowledge all of you, and especially my fellow panelists, on all the incredible work that you do for PrEP users and for people living with HIV in this region, so thank you all very much for helping us. I'm here to talk today about the consumer experience of PrEP in Australia. I can speak from that perspective. I won't be using a PowerPoint, so you can look at our lovely list of names. I'll try and talk in listicles, and I'll try and point out my key points. But I really find that talking about these things and having a discussion is really important, so I'm really glad that we get to have a discussion after this. Now, before coming here to Perth, I asked my online followers about what they'd like me to talk about when I come here. Come here to present to the preeminent minds of the HIV sector and industry. Now, I asked them, really, I wanted to find out, what did they want to tell you? What did they want to hear from you? And what do they demand as PrEP users? I asked them what is good, what is bad, what their hopes are, and what their fears are regarding the use of PrEP as an HIV preventative. Now, I apologise in advance for using these binaries, and I acknowledge that the lived experience of PrEP consumption is very complicated and deeply personal, but 10 minutes is 10 minutes, I'm up to 8. So I'll do my best to boil down what I've learned. We all know the common topics and questions. We all know the topics du jour surrounding PrEP use. So I'd really like to use this time to draw attention to some lesser discussed topics that, as we sort of approach larger cohorts of PrEP users, a majority cohort of PrEP users within at-risk groups, these issues will become larger and larger, and the sector really must address them before they become larger problems. I'll try not to have my advocate hat on too much today, and I'll aim to speak to my many years of PrEP use, but now as a person living with HIV, I can't help but speak to those dual experiences. As a sector, as a community, we really got used to people getting HIV when condoms were the prevalent preventative, but we're still so far away from accepting PrEP users that get HIV. The age of PrEP, as some people call it, is presenting myriad issues for those that seroconvert. Whether through failure of medication or failure of regimen or through unknown reasons, these individuals are facing familiar stigma in a brand new setting, and that's unacceptable. We won't be ending HIV anytime soon. The demographics of new seroconversions are changing before our eyes. So any discussion about PrEP and the enormous mind-blowing success that it's proven itself to be has to be tempered with the reality that people continue to live with HIV, that need to be brought along in this period of liberation. And people will also continue to get HIV, and the support really needs to be there for them. So what is really good about PrEP? We all know the incredible success stories. We've heard so much from our wonderful panelists about what a good, great, amazing news story that it is. It works exceptionally well at preventing HIV. And PrEP users are excited that PrEP's use and exposure is growing and becoming more dynamic. You're becoming more and more likely to find PrEP-using partners that share the lived experiences of being a PrEP user. I remember how difficult it was being an early adopter of PrEP and the fears that I had to constantly assuage in others, but also the static nature and the conservative clinical guidelines are finally relaxing from a consumer perspective. On-demand or event-based PrEP is growing in use and it's slowly being endorsed by clinicians. Guidelines are advanced. You know, we saw how far ahead the WHO was, but it's those face-to-face interactions with your doctor that are the most important, and we still see some lagging there. Most importantly, our diverse communities with diverse behaviours and diverse HIV preventative needs are beginning to find the diversity in PrEP use. They can access this most effective HIV preventative outside of TASP and adapt it to their uniqueness, and this is truly groundbreaking. We talk about the HIV preventative toolbox. Well, we were discovering that PrEP as the screwdriver can have many different types of heads, and how wonderful is that? In terms of access, it's getting easier and easier to access PrEP, whether it's through PBS or online. There are many price options and access options. And I'd particularly like to draw attention to hugely successful 3-for-1 schemes that we're seeing in Melbourne, where you get a 3-month standard script worth of drug for the price of 1 month, thanks to the charitable organisation. But we demand greater rollout of these sorts of schemes. We've found that since the PBS rollout, access has actually become more expensive. So cheap PrEP should always be the goal of pharmacists. And what's bad about PrEP? We're not getting women. We're missing heterosexual men. We're swinging, but we're missing trans people. We're not getting Indigenous communities. We're missing culturally and linguistically diverse people. We're swinging for, but we're still missing international students. Clinicians, researchers, all of us here, we see it in the statistics, we all see it in the changing demographics of new diagnoses, but PrEP users feel and experience this gap, and they're also the perpetrators of stigma against non-users. A gap has been created between PrEP users and non-users, and so a division will be felt by community members, and this can be particularly seen within the MSM community. While it can be argued that the serodivide between negative and positive people is shrinking, there's undoubtedly miseducation, misinformation, and just good old stigmatization and discrimination against people living with HIV by PrEP users, and that's really unfortunate. Persistent stigma against PLHIV during this period of significant growth in PrEP is a scourge. When you see PrEP for PrEP written on a Grindr profile, this isn't a sexual preference, it's a failure of education, and it harms the entire community. And they're being let down because not only are they not being given the tools to properly educate themselves and free themselves from anxiety and fear, we're missing the ability to attach the anti-stigma message that really should be welded to the PrEP message. At a practical level, the discussion about costs need to continue. The medication's relatively cheap, depending on your access options, but doctors and pathology are not cheap. If we're to achieve a greater number of users to help bring down HIV diagnoses, we need to make sure it's as easily as possible to access the entire PrEP regimen to ensure positive health outcomes. As a final point about what we can improve about PrEP, we continue to see doctors misunderstanding PrEP and the unique needs of their patients, as I mentioned earlier. The issue is that when a doctor doesn't empower you to use PrEP, you're disempowered when choosing this as your HIV preventative. They'll tell you, "I'm sorry, we do not promote that, you are on your own." And that's a missed opportunity. PrEP users experience discrimination from clinicians, whether it be their decision to go onto PrEP initially. This is especially problematic for people outside of the MSM or community-attached cohort or the groups that I mentioned earlier. But they also experience discrimination when they choose to go onto on-demand PrEP or when they should decide to cease PrEP. None of these decisions are problematic and they should be supported. And they're always personal and informed decisions. We cannot underestimate the ability of individuals to access cutting-edge information and data and apply that to their needs in real time. These people need to be supported by doctors to achieve the best outcomes. I've experienced this personally, and I can tell you it leaves you feeling confused, it leaves you feeling awful. When you've empowered yourself with information and data that have been disseminated through democratic means rather than the top-down clinician-patient approach, when your doctor tells you you're wrong, you know you're not, and those people need to be empowered. Now, what are the hopes about PrEP use? And we sort of touched on this, and this is a really exciting time to talk about it. There are so many areas of cutting-edge PrEP research that are reasons for hope. PrEP users want to see injectables, they want to see implants, they want to see vaccination. It's talked about on social media, and these things want to be seen sooner rather than later. We knew years ago that the notion of taking a pill every single day to keep you safe from HIV would become a thing of the past. And should become a thing of the past because medical innovations should bring users solutions that increase the success of the regimen more and more, makes HIV prevention more and more simple and available, and makes HIV prevention more suited to each individual and their needs. HIV negative people want to see these advances fast-tracked. PrEP users, like the rest of us, hope for the end of HIV, but this can only be achieved with the full endorsement of U equals U, so that the empowerment of PrEP plus U equals U will create a formidable force to end HIV. We need to listen to HIV-positive voices and how this can be better achieved. As a young PrEP activist years ago in Melbourne, I learned everything I know from people living with HIV. They were formative in how we adapted the PLHIV playbook to how we could achieve success with PrEP, and for PrEP users and for prospective users. This legacy must continue. What are the fears for PrEP? PrEP users are still afraid of HIV. And it's really sad to say. They're still afraid of people living with HIV. It just takes a look at any online PrEP forum, the level of fear that persists amongst PrEP users, even amongst long-term users. The intergenerational and intra-community trauma will take a long time to dismantle. We're still not quite there yet. PrEP users often aren't fully engaging or understanding the science. Whereas our education going wrong, especially around other STIs in relation to PrEP, when PrEP users are still oppressed by anxiety and fear, let alone projecting those fears onto others and causing further harm. PrEP users still understand HIV as an abstract concept. I'm speaking personally that when I learned about HIV after my own diagnosis, this completely shook up my preconceptions, my preconceived notions about what it's like to be HIV positive. But more importantly, it taught me how to be a better advocate for PrEP. And it's given me a keen eye on where the divisions lay and where our weaknesses are in our response to HIV through PrEP. What I've discovered is that when we are operating in competition or in silos, we're not working together, and it's prohibitive to our goals. Just to wrap up my presentation, 10 seconds left. We have done such an amazing job in Australia, and we truly are world leaders. From you here professionally within the sector, to the grassroots movements that started mainly in Melbourne, to the individuals that really pushed for greater PrEP access, but also to the individual PrEP users that take that leap of faith. And I know faith has very little to do with science, but really, users have faith in PrEP, and they have faith in each of our abilities to make it accessible and better for them. Let's build on our successes, and let's not let them or anyone else down. Thank you.